All right, here's Bob McKenzie, our TSN Hockey Insider. What's up, Bob?
Hey, boys. How you doing tonight?
Good, good.
We're doing well. We're
only 35 minutes left for the weekend starts for you guys, right?
That's right, wow. Man.
What and you it's got a tough day, on? Bobby. I don't usually do good after I do radio and then a Leaf game. I'm just a little bit sluggish the day after.
That's exactly right. That's where Mail It and Friday started.
That's exactly right, my man.
Well, we were talking to Jim Rutherford earlier, and he's got a lot of faith in his veteran team because I don't know if you've heard of their routine, Bob. But they don't play again until Tuesday in Edmonton.
It's like I booked their travel schedule.
They're in Toronto again tonight. So yes. They stayed last night. They're in here tonight. And then they're going to Banff for 2 or 3 days and then to Edmonton. Like, that's got to be, you got to have faith in
that's
your vets.
That's the ultimate respect to a veteran team to say, I know you guys are going to have some fun, but that Edmonton game, when that puck drops, you better be ready to play.
Yeah. And it is a veteran team, too. I mean, you know, you got Sid and Gino leading the way, so I would think that the hijinks would be minimal.
What did you make of Pittsburgh's play last night? I mean, we talk about the Leafs all the time, but I thought the Pens, very impressive forecheck. They smothered the Leafs all night.
Yeah, I think so. And yet, at times, they had to rely on Murray to come up with some good saves, and the Leafs did have some chances that might have snowballed into a bit of an offensive onslaught. I mean, if Tavares scores on that one where he wheels around Letang in the first period and they get a little momentum out of it, then maybe it would have been a different game. But I generally agree with you that for a Penguin team that's been grinding the gears early on, they played kind of the perfect road game and just, you know, kept it as tight as they possibly could. And, you know, keep in mind, they're not off to a great start. Crosby hasn't scored a goal yet, so if anybody would be grinding the gears, it would be them, but they found a way to get it done, and the Leafs didn't.
With Bob McKenzie, our TSN Hockey Insider, we have not caught up with you since the Switzerland summit between Dubas and Nylander, and I saw on Twitter, I guess, Dubas is home. He's back, and he was back in time for the game last night. What have you heard? What do you make of that whole story? Where do you stand on it?
Well, I think it's part of the playbook, if you want to call it that. You know, I think at some point I would expect that something like that needs to happen, maybe as a catalyst to try and push this thing along. There's obviously a significant problem in terms of the long-term valuation of what Nylander thinks he's worth and what the Leafs think he's worth. And we know that. They're considerably far apart. So I think, you know, there's no magic bullet here that Dubas goes in and whispers a couple of sweet nothings in his ear, and 48 hours later you get a deal. That's not how this works. But I think there's a number of factors to consider. Number one, Kyle Dubas seems to have a pretty good rapport with the players on the Toronto Maple Leafs, and part of the reason I think he's got a good personal rapport with some of these guys is because he was also the general manager of the Marlies, and a lot of these guys played for the Marlies, and Nylander most certainly did, and they probably got to know each other a little bit. So there is, I think there's a relationship and there's a level of rapport and maybe trust that exists there. So that's number one. Number two, in a process where the player isn't really directly part of the process, I mean, he's getting the updates from his agent, Lewis Gross, from his dad, Michael Nylander, who's also involved, I believe, involved in the negotiations or the decision-making process. So the player is most certainly part of it, but, you know, somebody else is doing the work. So to have a face-to-face meeting where you lose the filter, and that's not to say you're doing an end around the dad or the agent or anything else. It's just, okay, William, here's what we're trying to do. Now, you know, the word on the street is that Nylander's being concerned that maybe he's going to sign and, you know, 3 months later or next, before the season's even out, he's traded because there's a cap crunch and he's got to be the guy that goes. And as I say, I don't think Kyle Dubas can assure William Nylander will never trade you if you sign a 6 or 7 year deal during the life of that contract. But I think what he probably would reassure him and say is that's not the plan. Listen, we love you. We like you. We respect you. We want you. And there's no plans to trade you, but I can't make long-term promises. But in the short term, I can. You're not going anywhere. If that allays any fears. And I think the next thing that you would need to say if you're Kyle Dubas is we've been banging our head against the wall here trying to do a 6 or 7 year deal. I mean, I know you don't want to leave money on the table. And if you do a 2 or 3 year deal and you're only making $5 million, that, you know, you're literally leaving $24 to $29 million a year on the table versus what you would get on a 6-year deal. But that also allows you to go back up the bat in a year or two or three. And if your concern is you're going to get lapped by Marner and Matthews on mega contracts down the road, then bet on yourself. Let's find a number that works in the short term and put you back in a position with arbitration rights and knowing what Marner and Matthews are making to come back and do this negotiation all over again in a year or two or three. And I don't want to say it's a magnanimous offer by the Leafs, but putting him in a situation where he's got arb rights and all of that is decidedly to his advantage. And also, if he's as good as he believes he is, and if he believes he's worth $7 or $8 million a year, then bet on yourself on a 2 or a 3 year deal. Get in, start playing, and then let Marner Matthews do their long term deals and see where you're at a year or two or three from now and negotiate accordingly.
Bob, when you mentioned Michael Nylander, the father of William Nylander, how much do you think the involvement is? Because for people listening, I think they might just think that it's, oh, you know, maybe, you know, you should do this, William. Or I think these guys, when you look at the different kids for the Maple Leafs and different guys around the league, with, you know, you see their dads, they're almost like, it's almost like they're at every game. These guys are big time involved in this stuff, aren't they?
Yeah, I don't presume to know what the dynamic would be other than, you know, Michael has been associated in the agency business. He's got a company that he works with, you know, so it's part of his thing. So I couldn't sit here and presume to tell you what role he has, how prominent his voice is. I would assume it's fairly prominent. And I think that's just part of the way hockey is now, that not with every player, but a lot of players, parents are heavily involved. And I know there are lots in the National Hockey League who wish they weren't. And then there's lots of parents who would say, too bad, I'm looking out for my kid, and I'm here to look out for his best interest and to help him. And it's up to the kid, and I call them kids, but they're all men. It's up to the young men to, you know, obviously take the wisdom of their parents' counsel, as any young man should, or young woman. And then at some point, though, you got to make your own decisions because it's your life and it's your career, and you got to do what makes the most sense. And at the end of the day, you listen to your agent, you listen to your mom and your dad, and then you call a shot, because, you know, you're ultimately responsible. At the end of the day, if however the negotiations have gone, it's not the agent, it's not on the agent, it's not on the mom or the dad. It's ultimately the player who decides how things go.
With Bob McKenzie, our TSN Hockey Insider. With regards to Matthews, there have been some rumors, some reports that, you know, obviously the Leafs want to get him signed and locked in as soon as possible, but maybe it won't be an 8-year deal. Maybe it'll be a 5-year deal, which would lead him right into free agency. Wouldn't be the first time that happened. I think Taves signed a similar deal. Kane, maybe Crosby did his first deal. Yep. That would be terrifying for me, though, Bob. I mean, terrifying to hand him the opportunity to leave in 5 years if he wants to. Who knows if he would or not. That's 5 years down the road. But can you picture the Leafs agreeing to that?
Well, the funny thing is that Matthews doesn't want a 5-year deal. Matthews' preference is a max term deal. Matthews wants an eight-year deal. I think the Leafs have thrown a lot of different options on the table, and 5 years is one of them. But what I would say is the only reason the Leafs would ever entertain 5 years for Auston Matthews would be if he took, you know, a lot less than what he would take on an 8-year deal. And I don't think that's going to happen at all. I think of Auston Matthews, if the Leafs wanted to do a 5-year deal, I think Auston Matthews would say, okay, great. Well, if I was going to do an 8-year deal at 12.5, I'll do a 5-year deal at, I'll give you, I don't know, 12 or 12.5. Mm-hmm. And the Leafs are like, no, there's, you know, the benefit for us doing a shorter term deal is we walk you to free agency, but you give us a considerable break in the meantime so we can make sure over the next 5 years, which is probably our maximum window to win Stanley Cups, that we've got maximum flexibility. So we should be able to get you for 10 or, you know, for a couple of million less a year in, and I just don't see that happening at all. So I understand why some people would talk about a 5-year deal, and I don't discount that at some point maybe the Leafs brought it up. But in the grand scheme of things, I think Matthews wants a max term deal at 8, and I think the Leafs would probably prefer that too. But they might have explored, I'm just guessing, spitballing here, they might have explored doing 5 at a considerably lesser number to give them maximum cap flexibility to sign everybody else. And I couldn't imagine that Matthews would be up for that.
I think where Brian was going is it's not even the business side of it, Matthews and his camp and the Leafs, where they're trying to be reasonable with it. To me, that would send shockwaves through the fan base. That if he didn't, why doesn't he want to be here the whole time? And then it would be rumors that, well, does he want to go home to Arizona? What does he want to do?
Absolutely.
Like that's for where sure. I think the minute that people were throwing that out there, you're like, okay, well, 5 years, that doesn't sound right. What's going on here?
Like McDavid signed 8. Yeah. Why wouldn't you sign 8?
The hilarious part about it, though, as I said, is my understanding of the situation is that Austin Matthews and his representatives, they want a max term deal. They want an 8-year deal. But I think they wanted a number that the Leafs, I'm just guessing here, that they probably wanted at a number that the Leafs are looking at and saying, oh boy, if we have to do Nylander at the number he wants, and we have to do Matthews at the number he wants, and Marner's going to sit there and say, well, I'm not Austin Matthews, but I'm darn close, so I'm going to ride on that wave a little bit, then we aren't going to be able to sign everybody. And that's why, you know, agents and players and parents and everybody can get upset with Brendan Shanahan coming out and saying, you got to find a way to, for everybody, we want to be fair, but you want to find a number that allows everybody to fit into the boat. And Shanahan's only point, and it's completely valid, is if you don't find that level of quote unquote fairness in order to fit, then they do have to toss bodies overboard. And, you know, and that's where William Nylander's fears of being traded longer term could be legitimate. But if it's not him, it could be somebody else. And then, you know, and that's the nature of the salary cap world. And when the salary cap came in, Bob Goodenough said, the reason we want, amongst others, but one of the reasons we hate the salary cap is because the players cannibalize each other, because there's only so many dollars to go around and everybody wants to get paid. And the more one player takes, it takes it out of somebody else's pocket. And it's 100% true. And so if Matthews and Marner and Nylander all want to get market value playing for the Toronto Maple Leafs, then the Toronto Maple Leafs are not going to have a Stanley Cup contending team, because they won't be able to surround those key players with enough other good players. And then the question becomes, how badly do those individuals want it? And when you give that equation to a player, they just say, yeah, you're just trying to jam me up here. Fine for you. Then you'll trade me down the road. Well, maybe they will, maybe they won't. But that's the reality of a salary cap. Unless, and this is the asterisk that goes with it, the salary cap could go up by leaps and bounds here. If it goes up $5 million a year, as opposed to the one or two that it was crawling along at a snail's pace the last number of years, then, you know, then that's a different story, because there will be a little more flexibility than the team might let on.
Enjoy the weekend, Bob. We'll do it again next week.
Awesome. Have a good one, guys. Thanks.
Bob McKenzie, your TSN Hockey Insider.